Amen. Thank you. Amen. Thank you very much. You may be seated. Thank you so much. Amen. Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Amen. What you said. All right. Good. Thank you so much. What a privilege it is to be in Hiles Anderson College Chapel. There's no place like this place, that's for sure. And what a blessing. It is a blessing. Right now I'm trying to adjust. I feel like I'm on the road to Damascus. But praise the Lord for his goodness. Thank you, Stephen and Emily. That was tremendous. And thankful for how God's working in their hearts and their lives. And so good to be here today. I'm glad my wife could be with me in chapel today. And this is the first time I've been to chapel since the remodel. Everything looks so wonderful. And praise the Lord for all of his goodness and all the improvements, the facility improvements, the parking lot. What a blessing. And you are a blessed group of young people. And I know you hear that often, but it's true nonetheless. And I get a little bit emotional, as you might guess, every time I step into this room, because of it's almost like sacred ground. And that may not compute to you right now, but it may one day. And there's a lot of wonderful memories in this room, a lot of great decisions for the Lord, and a lot of truth that has come from this platform that God used in my heart. And men of God that came across here and preached, faculty and staff members. And let me just say this, thank you, faculty and staff, for all that you do. It is a wonderful investment. Thank you for your investment in my life. Thank you for the investment in the life of my wife. Let me just say a special thank you to Pastor Wilkerson, and he is a dear friend and a man of God, and I love him dearly. And I'm so thankful that God brought him to First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, and his leadership there and here at the college. He is unequivocally a man of God, and I'm thankful for his friendship. I love him, and of course, we share, my wife and I, and he and his wife share the two cutest grandkids in the world. There's no question about it. And so, but he's a dear friend, and I love him very, very much. And thank you so much for the award, the John Vapersan Award. And I don't claim to be deserving of that at all, but I am thrilled to be associated with Dr. John Vapersan. When my wife and I and our family first came to Michigan 9 years ago, one of the first people to reach out to me as a pastor from the area was Dr. John Vapersan. Just a gentleman, a prince of a man, just a wonderful, godly example, faithful for over 50 years there at Metro Baptist Church. And I don't claim to be worthy of the award, but I am thrilled to be associated with the name of Hiles Anderson College and Dr. John Vapersan. And that's a wonderful privilege, and I treasure that dearly. Take your Bible, turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 14. Matthew, chapter 14. Matthew, chapter number 14. I know you're excited about the holidays coming up. And chapel in the dining hall. It doesn't get any better than that. And food and fundamentalism. There you go. Oh, and denim. I forgot denim. But anyway, amen. Matthew chapter number 14 in your Bible. Once you found that, if you'll join me in standing, please, for reading God's Word. Matthew chapter 14. And to all the Lake Crest folks here, I'm so proud of you. I hope I get to at least chat with you for just a few moments at some point. I know it's a pretty hectic schedule today, but I'm so thankful for what God is doing in your lives, and just keep on keeping on for the Lord. Matthew chapter 14, we're going to begin reading. It's a familiar story, but we'll begin reading in verse number 25, and we'll read down through verse number 31. Matthew 14, verse 25, it says, In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Notice verse 30. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Verse 31, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? I want you to look back at verse number 30. And if you're in the habit of marking in your Bible, that's great. If not, at least I want you to circle this phrase mentally for the sake of the message this morning. In verse 30, it says, But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And here's what I want you to circle either physically in your Bible or in your mind. And beginning to sink. Beginning to sink. That's the title of the message this morning that I want to share with you. Beginning to sink. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that you'd help us in these next few moments. Father, you know my heart better than I know my own heart. But Father, I certainly want to be a blessing today. I want to help and be a blessing to these faculty and staff members. Father, I'm so appreciative of Brother Francis and Brother Snipes, Brother King, and all the other faculty and staff members here, Brother Osgood, and of course, Brother Mitchell, and I see Brother Fish and Brother Pins and Brother Stubblefield and many who were here years ago when I was sat here as a student. And Father, I owe a great debt of gratitude to these precious folks. I owe a great debt of gratitude to First Baptist Church of Hammond and Howes Anderson College and Pastor Wilkerson and so many, Father, who have invested in me. And Father, I want to be a blessing to these young people today. Father, may there be no casualties over the holiday break. Father, I pray that if someone here has begun to sink, I pray that they would do what Peter did immediately and cry out to Jesus. Father, I pray that you'd sanctify these moments that we'll spend in chapel today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. In our text is the familiar and amazing story of the only two persons ever to walk on the water. In the first place, it's by no means surprising that the Son of God walked on water. Obviously, the Bible says in Colossians chapter number 1, by him all things consist. Jesus can walk on anything he wants to walk on. He made it. He's the author of it. He's the creator of it. The disciples were sent by Jesus into the ship and into the Sea of Galilee where Jesus knew there would be a storm. By the way, give that a moment's thought, if you will. Jesus sent them into what he knew would be a storm. He sent them into a set of difficult circumstances. And may I say, sometimes Jesus allows us to go into difficult circumstances. Now, he promised not to put upon us more than we can bear, but if you're in a set of difficult circumstances this morning, may I just encourage you briefly by saying this. God knew you were coming up to these circumstances before you ever got there. And the disciples were sent by Jesus into a boat into the Sea of Galilee. And in verse number 25, it tells us that in the fourth watch of the night, the darkest part of the night, between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m., it says Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Jesus went to them walking on the sea. Let me remind all of us that Jesus is always there in the darkest part of whatever it is that we're going through. You may be going through the loss of a loved one this morning, but Jesus is there. You may be going through a physical difficulty, but Jesus is there. You may be going through a transition time in your college career, but may I say Jesus is there. Whatever your circumstances, whether it's bad news from home or difficulties on the job or academic trouble, whatever the case may be, Jesus is there. He's there. The first reaction of the disciples was uncertainty and fear. Look with me at verse 26. It says, And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out in fear. That probably would be our first instinct. In verse 27, they heard the comforting voice of the Savior, and Jesus said these words, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." He came to them, not on another boat. Jesus did not come to where the disciples were on some other vessel. He didn't swim out to where they were. He went to them walking on the water. It should be no surprise to us that God has all of the elements under His control. There's not, the Bible says in the book of Romans, who shall separate us from the love of God? And the answer to that, the obvious answer, is nothing. He is the creator of the elements, and Jesus came to where the disciples were, and he was walking on the sea. And when the waves look out of control to you and I, as they did to the disciples that night, when the waves look out of control, we need to understand that those same waves are under the feet of our Savior. They might be over your head, but they're under His feet. He's got everything under control. What happened next is the amazing story of the other person who walked on water, good old Peter. Good old Peter. Peter said, "Lord, if it really is you, bid me come to you." Now, we understand that Peter was impetuous. Many times he would put his foot in his mouth, so to speak. And Peter, he said, "Hey, Jesus, if that's really you out there coming to us, would you just bid me come to you?" And there's a one-word answer there from the Savior, and that was simply this: come. "Come on, Peter." "Yeah, sure. You want to come to me? That's fine." So as you know, Peter did what to us was the unthinkable. Now, we understand Peter endures a lot of criticism for what would happen next, but keep in mind, Peter was the only one willing to get out of the boat. He was the only one who was willing to say, "Lord, if it's really you, bid me come to where you are." I like what one old preacher said one time. Hey, it wasn't the water that Peter was walking on. He may have been walking on concrete because he was walking on the words of God. May I say this morning, when you base your life and ground your life on the eternal, infallible, inspired, preserved words of God in the old King James Bible, let me tell you something. Hey, good things will happen. You're walking on the word of God. And that's where Peter was walking. Because when Jesus said, "Peter, it's okay for you to come," it may well have been a cement sidewalk. Jesus said, "Come." So as you know, Peter did what to us was the unthinkable. He got out of the boat, not to swim, but to walk. Now, the rest of the message this morning may seem a little bit of a reprimand of Peter, but I do want you to keep in mind that he was the only one willing to step out. The Word of God tells us and is clear about what happened. In verse number 29, it says he walked on the water to go to Jesus. If I was Peter, I might look at that verse as being the highlight of my life on this earth. Think about it. Peter's in heaven, and if I were Peter, one of the great highlights of my life, you think about it, he was there at the Mount of Transfiguration. He was there in the upper room. He was always mentioned first in the listing of the disciples. We'll talk about that here in just a moment. But if I'm Peter, one of the highlights of my life would have to be, you know what? Jesus told me to walk on water. But the next verse subdues that enthusiasm just a little bit, and this is where we find the message for this morning, because in verse 30 it says, "But when he saw the wind boisterous..." Now get the picture in your mind. Put yourself on the Sea of Galilee and see with me Peter advancing, walking on the water toward the Savior. And everything was going great. Everything was wonderful. But then it says in verse 30, he started looking around. He saw the wind boisterous. He saw the effects of the wind. He saw the waves. He saw the billows and so forth. And it said he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." Now, the message this morning is this. The words "beginning to sink" arrested my attention. Beginning, key word there, beginning to sink. Now, I want to bring that to your attention this morning, if I may, in the few moments that we'll share together. As zealous and sincere as it was that Peter got out of the boat, and let's face it, he's to be commended for that. But at some point, he began to sink. let me share with you several thoughts along these lines and make some applications. Number one, it was the most admirable who began to sing. It was the most admirable who began to sing. Many of the time, when you see a listing of the disciples, Peter is mentioned first. He was a leader among leaders. He was one of the first to jump in and get involved. Sometimes Peter's criticized a little bit for his impetuousness. Sometimes he would say things before he thought about things, and as all of us do on occasion. He was part of that inner circle. It was always Peter, James, and John. It was never James, John, and Peter, or John, Peter, and James. Peter was always at the head of the list. He was always the first one mentioned. It was Peter, James, and John. He was the elite of the disciples. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus was in his greatest hour of need, and the Bible says that he went to the disciples at the entrance of the garden, and he and that inner circle, Peter, James, and John, went a little bit further, and then Jesus said to those three, he said, "You watch and pray that you enter not into temptation." And the Bible says he went about a stone's throw, and he went and prayed to his heavenly Father, and there in the Garden of Gethsemane in his greatest hour of need, Jesus sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. But it was Peter. It was Peter who led that small three-man group of men who went further into the garden. It was Peter, once again with James and John, who went with Christ to the Mount of Transfiguration. It was Peter who was quick to confess Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, whom do men say that I am? And so the disciples, they chimed in. Some say you're this, some say you're that, some say you're Elijah, some say you're one of the prophets. And then Jesus said, but whom do you say that I am? And it was Peter who was quick to make that confession. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. It was Peter who quickly acknowledged who Jesus was. The fact that Peter, hear me now, the fact that Peter would be the one that could begin to sink reminds me that all of us are susceptible to taking our eyes off the Lord. The fact that Peter, the choicest, one of the choicest of God's servants, the fact that he could begin to sink, he could take his eyes off the Savior, he could be swayed by fear, he could be swayed by the circumstances, he could be deterred by the elements. Hey, if it can happen to Peter, it can happen to me. My Bible says, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Straying away from God is a possibility for this preacher, and it scares me to death. The songwriter put it best when he said, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. I don't want to stray away from Jesus. I don't want to be the one to begin to sing. But let me say this morning, if it can happen to Peter, it can happen to me, and it can happen to you. He began to sink. Satan doesn't shy away from tempting those of us who are most dedicated. Sinking and getting our eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ can happen to all of us. Beware, college student. Beware, bus captain. Beware, Sunday school teacher. Beware. All of us need to be watchful and keenly aware of the fact that at any time we can falter when we take our eyes off the Lord. And that was Peter's security. Peter's security in this whole story was keeping his eyes fastened on the Lord Jesus Christ. His security, everything about his future, and in that moment was hinging on the fact that he was focused on the Savior. Well, we got to keep our focus on Jesus. Can I help you this morning? Both while you're in college and after you get out of college, there's going to be plenty of opportunities for you to get your eyes away from Jesus Christ. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Oh, let me encourage you this morning. As a college student, things may come your way. Distractions may come into your life. Keep your eyes focused on him. Peter was one of the most admirable of the disciples, and yet he began to sink. I want you to see something else. Number two, Peter began to sink in familiar waters. Peter began to sink in familiar waters. Understand something, and many of you know this. Peter grew up around the Sea of Galilee. When Jesus called him to be a disciple, where was he? He was right there with his fishing vessel. He was a fisherman by trade. It's what he did best. It was his livelihood. Peter had he had crisscrossed, no doubt, that Sea of Galilee. There's several titles for it in the New Testament, Lake of Gennesaret and so on. But Peter, no doubt, had crisscrossed that lake hundreds, maybe even thousands of times. It was very familiar waters to him. He was comfortable there. And the irony is that in those familiar waters is where Peter began to sink. Let's make an application, if we may. We can backslide anywhere. We can get our eyes off of Jesus even in the most spiritually familiar, spiritually friendly environments. Yea, even at Howes Anderson College. Every time I walk onto the campus here, whether it be during a youth conference or an occasion like this or whatever the case may be, I'm always, my mind's always flooded with memories and wonderful memories. And as we walk down the Malone 2 hallway there, I just stopped just for a second or two, right next to the door that was my dorm room for 5 years. I lived in the same room the whole time I was here. They were ready to get rid of me. But anyway, but the reality is you can stray away from the Lord at Bible college. That sounds counterintuitive, but I'll go so far as to say this is an easy place to begin to sink. It's an easy place to begin to sink. We can backslide anywhere, but it's most likely to happen where we're most comfortable, in familiar surroundings, around familiar people. We let our guard down around family and friends. Folks that you, people who you're roommates with, folks that you serve in the ministry with. And by the way, thank God for the camaraderie that we enjoy with people who serve the Lord Jesus Christ. That's awesome. Some of the greatest memories I have, Brother John, you know this to be true, are folks that you serve the Lord with. What a blessing. By the way, you talk to Brother Francis. Some of you that think you know where the best burrito shops in Chicago are, Talk to Brother John sometime. He'll give you some pointers on that stuff. I'll promise you that. But you know what? Seriously, we think about relationships that we forged, and they're wonderful. They're tremendous. But here's the danger. Sometimes if we're not careful, we can try to ride someone else's spiritual coattails. If we're not careful. Hey, we can pound our chest and say, I'm a student at Howes Anderson College. Hey, I'm bus captain, First Baptist Church of Hammond. Hey, I teach Sunday school in the BC&D. I do this, or I do this, or I'm involved with this, or I sing, or I serve, and all those things are wonderful. Don't misunderstand me. But if we're not careful in familiar waters, you and I can begin to sink. As a pastor, I can wrap myself in the work of God and begin to sink. As a staff member, I worked for Brother Rick Finley for 21 years, as I said a few moments ago. And boy, those are some wonderful years, and I love Brother Finley dearly. He's a good friend of mine. He was my youth pastor for 4 years and then my boss for 21 years. But when I was serving on staff, I found out real quick, you can stray away from the Lord in your heart while you're serving the Lord. And really, that's what this is all about. Peter began to sink. He got his eyes off of the Lord. He took his focus away from the Savior, and he began to go under the depths of the water. He began to sink. The truth is, you can begin to sink. You can go to class, chapel class. Be involved. You can go through the motions. You can get in the routine of serving, and routine is good. Routine is safe. I love routine. I love being on schedule and doing the same thing. That's a wonderful thing. There's some security in that. But let's make sure that our heart doesn't falter. Let's make sure that our heart is where it ought to be. Let's make sure that we keep on fanning the flames of that fire in our soul that brought you here. Oh, you ought to go back and revisit what it was like. Hey, you know what, upperclassmen, there's a danger in your experience. Experience can be a wonderful thing, but experience can be our enemy if we use experience to replace our faith in Christ, our need for Him, our dependency upon Him. Boy, whenever we get too big for our spiritual britches and say, hey, you know what? I got this. I've been doing this a long time. You better be careful. It may be that you're beginning to sink. It's not in the Sunday school class where the real teacher is seen. It's in the dorm room. It's not in the choir loft or the chapel platform where real Christians are seen. It's in private. What's your walk with God like? Thank God for the soul winning ministries. Thank God for the service opportunities and all that. But yeah, you know, you can go through the motions and you can be obedient in one area and yet straying in your heart in other areas. Well, we ought to be careful. We ought to be careful. If we ever see revival in our land, the first place it will be seen will not be in the White House or the House of Representatives. It'll be in the church house in our house where we live. He said, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Look, we can talk about the wickedness and the darkness of the hour and we can curse the darkness, but if America is ever going to see revival, we understand the very basic concept in scriptures that revival always begins when God's people get right. The old saying goes, charity begins at home. You know, there's a lot of other good stuff that ought to start there as well. And when I say home, I'm talking about where you live specifically. Prayer, honoring the Word of God, respect and decency and good manners and gratitude and thankfulness and courtesy, common courtesy and talking right. Hey, it was not the Mediterranean Sea where Peter sank. It wasn't some foreign body of water somewhere that he was unfamiliar with. It was the Sea of Galilee. It was where he lived all of his life. And if you're not careful, you can begin to sink right where you are. Those who know you best and those who know me best, what do they say about our Christianity? Does your roommate believe you have a walk with God? The people that you spend the most time with? What about those of you who are married? What about your testimony with your spouse? More than likely, that's who we really are. That's who we really are. Number three, I hasten. We said, first of all, that Peter was the most admirable and he began to sink. Number two, Peter began to sink in familiar waters. Number three, Peter began to sink when his fear overruled his faith. Peter began to sink when his fear overruled his faith. You know, it happened so quickly. It happened so fast. We don't know how many steps Peter took on the water, okay? And again, he's the only mortal to ever do that. And he's to be commended for that. But the reality of the wind and the waves and the elements of the storm soon got Peter's attention. And instead of keeping his eyes focused on the Savior that bid him come to him on the water, Peter became distracted by fear. He became distracted. May I give a word of caution? In just a few days, you're going to go home, many of you. And then after that, there'll be just a couple weeks, you'll go home again for Christmas break, and that's a wonderful time. I can't tell you how many, every year I was here, boy, I was counting the days to Christmas break. Praise the Lord, amen. And I just couldn't wait to hear Dr. Evans sing that song, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas Now, and the place went crazy, amen. Great memories. But you know, there is a danger. There is a danger of us getting distracted over the holidays, losing our sense of purpose, losing in our hearts the reason why God has us where He has us. Hey, listen, we begin to sink. We get in spiritual trouble. Our faith gets weak when our focus is drawn to the problems of life and we get distracted. And you know, in some cases, we don't get distracted by bad things. We get distracted by good things. Somebody told me years ago, a good thing becomes a bad thing when it keeps you from doing the best thing, which is the will of God for your life. God can, or I should say, Satan can use something that's okay in and of itself in your life to distract you away from God's purpose. Hey, don't let that happen. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't begin to sink in your dedication to the Lord. Don't begin to sink in your devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ and His purpose for your life. Oh, listen to me. Disappointments will come, and sometimes our focus is drawn to the problems of life, whether it be disappointments or hurt feelings or sicknesses or an unforeseen heartache, the disloyalty of someone that you trusted. It can be 100 different things, but the end result is that we start going down with those things that cause us to falter in our trust in the Lord. You say, Pastor, how do I know if I'm beginning to sink? Let me ask you a question. How's your prayer life? Preacher, how do I know what are some telltale signs that I'm beginning to falter a little bit? You know, Peter, he stepped out of that boat and his faith was great. And Jesus said, Peter, come on. He steps out of that boat and he's walking toward the Savior. And again, the Bible doesn't tell us how many steps he took, how far it was. But at some point, his focus went away from where it should have been. And my admonition to you this morning is this. You know you're beginning to sink when your focus strays away from the Lord. Did you spend any time in God's Word this morning? Ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? You say, Pastor, you've been here. You know how hectic the schedule can be. You know how busy we can be. I understand all of that. Let me tell you something. One of the greatest lessons you'll learn while you're at Howells Anderson College is to walk with God. In fact, you'll not learn a greater lesson. You'll not establish a greater discipline than that, than to walk with God. Because let me tell you, the storms will come. The disappointments will come. The troubles and the heartaches and all of that will come. And there's no way to avoid it. It's part of life. It's part of what God has for us. But let me tell you something. You better have a foundation of going hand in hand with Jesus when you leave this place. Because when the storms come, walking with Him is all that matters. Have you withdrawn from God? I know you're involved in ministry, but have you withdrawn from a personal relationship with Him? We see that Peter was one of God's choicest servants, and yet he began to sink. He began to sink when his faith was overruled by fear. He began to sink in familiar waters, and then finally this morning, and I'm almost done, it was when Peter began to sink, when he cried out to Jesus. I leave you with one final thought today. Look back at our text, because it's worth noting again. Verse 30, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning, again, circle that word in your mind, beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. Here it is. He did not wait until he came up for air the first time or the second time. When I was in sixth grade, something very traumatic happened. My parents were serving on the mission field. And during that time, I saw a classmate of mine. He was in seventh grade. I was in sixth. His name was Keith Ward. Keith, I saw him drown out in the ocean. There was nothing anybody could do to save him. He went out there unadvisedly. They had been doing some underwater dredging in the bay, and he was going to be hero. A volleyball or something went out there. He was going to be play hero and go get it, and he was pulled under. There was nothing anybody could do to save him. Horrible thing. Horrible thing. Peter began to sing. He didn't wait till he came up for air the first time or the second time. Immediately, when he began to sink, Peter instinctively understood, I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble. So when our pride gets in the way and we do everything under the sun before simply admitting we have a problem, so often that's the case. Sometimes we begin to sink, but our pride won't let us cry out to God when we ought to. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, young people, hear me well. When you begin to sing, get it right away. At the first sign of a cold heart, run to Jesus. At the first sign of backsliding, run to Jesus. At the first sign of becoming indifferent toward the souls that live on your bus route, run to Jesus. At the first sign that you sense yourself getting cooled off in your own heart and your own spirit, boy, you ought to get along with God and say, I don't want to be this way. I don't want to sing. Do what Peter did. Cry out, Jesus, save me. So often pride gets in the way and we don't do that. When that happens, the longer you wait to get help, the more of a mess you make. The more of a mess you make. Notice the willing admission. It says he cried. You know what? When you realize you're in trouble, don't worry about what anybody else thinks about it. You cry out to God. Cry out to him. Notice also the only one who could help him was Jesus. The disciples, they were helpless. They were in the boat. What are they going to do? Peter's only hope was Christ. He didn't care how it looked or who was there to witness it. The only thing that mattered in that moment was that he was going down. I beg you, when you see it in your own life, when you begin to sink, and by the way, it happens to all of us. Again, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. If your attitude is, well, that never happened to me, you better watch out. You're a prime candidate. Your prime candidate. If you're beginning to sink today, admit it to God. If you're playing with sin today, admit it to God. If you're struggling with something this morning, own it and cry out to God. Don't deny it. Don't sweep it under the rug. Don't say it's not there. No, do something with it. Don't wait for the collateral damage to hit your home. Don't wait to become a casualty. Don't wait until one thing leads to another and to another, and before you know it, you're overwhelmed. Don't wait. When you begin to sink, cry out to God. At the first sign of sinking, get your eyes back on Jesus. At the first sign of discouragement, get your eyes back on God. At the first sign of a bitter spirit, cry out to God. Young people, it's just not worth it. Whether you like to admit this or not, there's a bullseye on you. A bullseye from hell. If it was true, by the way, same character in the Bible, it was Jesus who said to Peter, Satan had desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. And may I say, Satan doesn't care how he takes you down. If it's sin, he's okay with that. If it's discouragement, he's okay with that. If it's whatever, he's okay with it. He just wants to take you out. He wants you to sink. And the moment that you sense that, get your eyes back on Jesus. Cry out to him. I'm done. We give Peter a hard time. And I know sometimes it may be unjustified because he was the only one who was willing to get out of the boat. But we're reminded today, even the most zealous and admirable are susceptible to sinking. Don't you dare think that you're above it. Don't you dare think that you're above it. We can sink even in the most familiar of surroundings. Fear from our situation can choke our faith in God if we're not careful. And the time to cry out to God, hear me now, the time to cry out to God is the very moment when we realize, you know what? I'm beginning to sink. I'm beginning to sink. Peter, to his credit, didn't wait till he went under. He didn't wait till he went under. He said, Lord, save me. Our Father, I pray that someone in this room would be helped today. Father, the first step down is always critical that we understand and that we take care of business in the moment. I pray, Father, that especially over these next few weeks, these holidays, Thanksgiving and Christmas, I pray that there'd be no casualties of House Anderson students who sink. The only thing worse than realizing that we're sinking is denying the fact that we're sinking. And collateral damage is done, and our futures are harmed, and there's baggage that is gained because one thing leads to another. Father, please give us the grace and the humility to recognize our condition of sinking and take care of it as soon as it happens. Help us to cry out to Jesus, to get our eyes back on him. We sure love you today. Thank you for the privilege to serve you. Amen.